This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
The views expressed by guests on this program do not necessarily represent the views of the host or owners of the Doggy Diva Show and do not necessarily constitute endorsement of products. Medical information discussed by guests on this program are those of the guests and is only for informational purposes and should not replace medical advice by your local veterinarian professional.
Hi, this is Susan Marie from the Doggy Diva Show. This week, tips for cat lovers, celebrating Walk Your Dog Month, Animal Planet's The Vet's Life, read about the Pet Sitter's Tale, and a unique Valentine gift idea for pet lovers. That's what's on our show this week. Let's get started.
Hey, did you hear that? What is that?
It's the bark heard round the world. The Doggy Diva Show. Here's Susan Marie.
Hi, welcome to the Doggy Diva Show, the show for animal lovers. I'm your host, Susan Marie, and as always, I'm joined by my canine co-hosts, the Doggy Divas themselves, Francesca, Coco, and our newest little diva, Miss Olive. Miss Olive is the cute little Italian Greyhound rescue in the picture with the microphone. Thank you for joining us today as we bring the experts in the pet and animal world right to you. So go grab a cup of coffee and your pet's favorite treat, and we'll be back in just a moment.
If you've ever shared your home and heart with a charmingly naughty animal who's always up to mischief, you'll fall in love with the Klepto Kitty who stars in Talk to the Paw by Melinda Metz. Talk to the Paw is a funny, heartwarming novel about a single girl, a single guy, and MacGyver, an adorable tabby cat with a not-so-adorable habit of stealing from the neighbors. Talk to the Paw is on sale now everywhere books are sold. Visit kensingtonbooks.com for more info.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
We're here with Monica Layton from Professional Pet Sitting. And you know, Monica, with a lot of the adoptions and a lot of the new pets that were brought in throughout the holidays going into the new year, sometimes when you talk to people about cats, they go, oh, I'm afraid they're going to scratch up my furniture. I'm afraid they're going to scratch me. Having been a cat lover for many, many years, and one's been in my house since I was a child, I never really saw a lot of that, but I think people have a fear of it, and there are cats that do it. I mean, if they're not homed and then they come into a home, there could be chances that I could do a little scratching up. So do you have any like tips for potential cat parents or cat parents who have a little bit of a scratching issue?
Absolutely. So that is kind of an age-old issue with cat owners, and people are becoming more and more aware of, you know, not declawing and try to thinking of other ways to deter their cat from the destruction that can occur because of the claws. But still, you know, keeping, you know, the cat with their claws intact. There are some great, you know, things out there to deter the cats from certain areas, but you also want to remember that's kind of instinctual for them. So you want to give them an outlet. You don't want to just think, you know, oh gosh, I got to keep them away from this furniture. So what can I do? You need to provide them with a solution and a safe place to fulfill that instinctual, you know, habit of kneading and scratching and things of that. So always recommend, you know, scratching posts. They have the little cardboard scratchers, toys, you know, different sizes, different textures, soft stuffed animal-y type, you know, textures, and then they'll want to do the harder cardboard scratching post. It's not one sensation. It's, you know, an overall, you know, kind of urge that they need to instinctively do. So of course, having, you know, appropriate toys, appropriate scratching posts available to them to be able to do that, you know, correctly. And the other thing is if they are getting into areas of the house, like a couch, a chair, things of that nature is where that behavior is not okay, then it's kind of training them to not affect that area. So some things you can do, for example, a couch, double-sided tape works really well. Does not, you know, hurt your fabric or anything. It should pull right off, whether it's leather, fabric, whatever. But since it's double-sided, it'll obviously stick to the chair or the table leg or whatever it is that you're putting it on. And then the other side remains sticky. The cats really have a hard time with the stickiness, especially when they put their claws on there, because they'll have the little hair and stuff in between the pads of their feet. And when it starts to stick, they don't really like that feeling and texture. So that can be a good deterrent that, you know, doesn't affect, you know, the cat. It's not harmful, but it kind of makes it uncomfortable for them. Another thing is aluminum foil, believe it or not. I've had clients that have used aluminum foil on the edges of things that they're scratching on because the crinkle and the sound, it can deter them. It's also kind of a fun little, if it's wadded up into balls, sometimes they like to bat it, but when it's straight, you know, and lined through the couch, it's got a slick feeling. They don't get that need, you know, really in there because it's, they slide. And then that sound and the, you know, the sound and the texture combined, you know, can sometimes deter them from that area. If you have a cat that is very insistent on one area and those couple things do not do the job, then you're looking at a more higher end solution. So one thing you can do with cats that are constantly needing and that can get destructive is they have a product called Soft Paws. And soft paws are like these little rubber caps that go on the end of their nails. Always recommend, no matter what age your cat is, whenever you get them, always try to work with them feet, getting them used to having their nails clipped. Even if you can only do one or two a day at first, you know, or one or two a week, whatever you can do, just kind of go in a little cycle, get them used to clipping those nails. And like I said, even if they let you do one or two at a time, within a week's time frame, you'll have all of them done. You know, so just go to your cat's comfort level. You don't want to push them or stress them too much and, you know, have them start being afraid of the nail trimming, but keeping them short and then putting something like the soft paws on. What I've seen in the past with the soft paws is when you put the tips on, oftentimes the very first time you use them, the cats will immediately try to chew them off so aggressively that they'll pop a lot of them off. Stick the glue back in there, pop them back on. If you are reliable and follow through on the reapplication for the first week, generally after that, they know they're going to go back on, so then they leave them alone. It's just getting through the first initial reaction and change to having something on there. But I always recommend clipping the nails before you put the soft paws on. Soft paws are little rubber tips. They come in really cute different colors if you want them. Our cat had these glitter ones. They were very festive. Very cute. But it's just like kind of applying a fake nail. You just put a little bit of the, you know, adhesive glue inside and just slip the cap right over. It takes just a couple seconds and it's hardened in and it's pet safe glue that they give you. It's not going to hurt them if they chew it off, and just become reliable with it. And once they're on a couple times, the pet will leave them on and they last for a couple months. Also good with elderly pet owners. Some of the elderly clients we have very thin, frail skin. So when the pet goes over to kneed on them, they can get a little scratches, things of that nature, which, you know, of course is not good. So the soft paws have been a really good alternative for those kind of pet owners too that are really cautious about, you know, just minor scratches and, you know, the frailty of soft skin. Another thing you can use that we've had success with is something called like a scat mat. They have them in different catalogs and online, but it's a flat mat. They're usually like grayish in color, and they use this for cats who, and even dogs it's used in. But let's say maybe there's a piece of furniture you don't want them on, or even a kitchen counter. If you have a cat that you can't break, you know, that keeps jumping on the countertop, things of that nature, they put this little scat mat on there. And what it is it's a mat that has a battery outlet box on the end. And it provides, it's not a hard shock, it's a static electricity. So whenever they jump on there, it's like the static electricity, it's not enough to hurt them, but it's enough to freak them out enough to where they're like, oh, I don't want that to happen again. They also make dummy mats. So for example, when you have the one with the battery pack and you use it and they get the reaction, let's say it works fine, but I mean, they usually run around like $50. That can get a little expensive. So let's say you have a cat that's on multiple counters. Okay, they're not going on that one now, but now they're going on the other one because they can't see the mat there. So they have these dummy mats that you can get for a third of the cost, and they do not have the battery pack, you know, on there. So you can kind of spread them around as you need them. And once the pet gets used to not going up there and things of that nature, you can start to pull them away and get everything back to normal. They also make those mats, which is very cool, in a circular, like a half circle size. So you can use it at a bedroom door, and it's made to be like door size. So you can keep those pets at a certain rooms, for example. So if you don't want the pet in a child's room, or, you know, maybe you have a newborn, or maybe there's just, you know, one room where the cat is, you know, really getting into stuff. Things of that nature. You can use the half circle size one to deter them from walking into the room at all. So lots of little tips here and there, you know, just working with the cats, giving them an appropriate outlet, you know, to knead and to scratch and to have the toys available. But then also, you know, trying some of the, you know, deterrent ways. A combination of the two should really, you know, solve the issue of not having your house, you know, destroyed or, you know, anything being broken or torn, and then also, you know, have a nice, happy, calm cat.
Well, I think that's great information, great tips. And you know, Monica, you were talking about the little the things that go over the cat claws, soft paws, I think they're called. We had someone who lived with us who was elderly for a long period, for quite an extensive period of time, and she loved the cat, and the cat loved her. But she was so frail, like you said, the skin, you know, not meaning to cut her, but she'd jump up and maybe would touch her. So we used those. The cat acclimated to them fine, and it worked out as a perfect, like, marriage, because she got to lay down with her, and they got to be cuddly, and there was no chance that they were going to scratch. So if you have children, if you have young children, if you have elderly people who are staying with you or live with you, this is something, too, that's really great. Just as a preventive message. But these are really, really good tips, and I thank you so much for all those cat lovers out there.
Thank you so much. Have a great week.
Coming up, how to get the most out of your dog's daily exercise. Stay with us.
Tired of wasting money on giant bags, boxes, and jugs of litter that don't last? Switch to World's Best Cat Litter, the only litter that lets you use less and get more. World's Best Cat Litter uses the concentrated power of corn to deliver outstanding odor control and easy cleanup. It's lightweight, 99% dust-free, and pet, people, and planet-friendly. It's even flushable. Make the switch to World's Best Cat Litter and save $2. Visit www.saveonworldsbest.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. And we have with us right now our nutrition contributor, Kim Gablin from Belljack Foods. Hey, Kim, how are you?
Hi, Sue. I'm good. How are you?
Very good. And we are here to talk about something that's very important, not only to the pet, but also to the pet parent. And this is, it's the importance of walking our dogs.
Yeah. You know, and sometimes we think it's a really big chore, right? Like, oh gosh, we have to go out and walk the dog. You know, hey, can you get the kids to walk the dog? but it's actually really, really important to walk the dog because, you know, there's a couple things that come out of it here. First of all, it's just a pure physical exercise of getting that 20 to 30 minutes of walking in a day, right? That exercise and kind of the activity to get them kind of up and going.
Yeah.
But then the second thing is also very much mental stimulation for your dog. So we think about it as walking and just having a good time and getting our heart rate up. But it's also, you know, you have to take time to kind of let them smell the roses, right? Smell the mailboxes along the way.
Yes.
And take their time because, you know, they might meet other dogs. And if they're dog friendly, that's a big thing. And they also kind of get that mental stimulation because they smell and know so much through their nose and their senses.
It is. It's like, kind of like for us, it's kind of like a walk, but for them, it's like a total social encounter. And they don't even have to lift their nose off the ground, and they've got a social encounter.
Right, and they get to smell kind of, well, how's everybody doing and who's been here. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, they really do get all that information. And I know that's kind of frustrating for us because we're like, let's just walk, let's just go. You know, but you want to do a little bit of both, right? Do a little bit of that, just walking, but then also give them the time to kind of explore their surroundings.
And also for us and for our dogs, because, you know, we have to make sure that the dogs are healthy and we have to keep them fit. So it's kind of important to have like a daily walk for exercise and stuff.
Yeah. And it's really good. And, you know, and sometimes, you know, I know that not everybody, you know, everyone listens to you nationally. And so not everyone like us, we're in the cold right now. So it's been really tough to get out there and walk on a regular basis. You know, they say that if it's zero or below, of course, don't walk. That's not a good time to be out there walking. You know, do some activity inside, get that kind of done. But, you know, if it's, you know, above 20 degrees, then you can start thinking about walking, right? And if it is above 30, then maybe you could take about 15 minutes or so and be outside above 20 degrees with your dog. But, you know, once it's 20 to 30 degrees, you know, or maybe once it gets over 32 degrees, it's good to be able to be out there, and you can actually then, you know, do a 20 to 30 minute walk without any issues. So it's really important to just watch your dog and see how they're doing. Some dogs love to be outside in the cold, and of course some of them don't.
Well, and you know, those are really important that you bring up, because I think that some people get confused as, well, what should I do? It's like really cold, but should I take it? You know, they're not keeping a log that, well, you didn't take me on Tuesday, but, you know, so we have to do two on Wednesday,
right,
and it's below zero. It's really not advantageous for you, number one, to us. It's for
right.
safety, and of course for your dogs. We just recently came from New York, and it was so cold, because of course we live in Florida, that I have mine bundled up in jackets and everything. Of course, nobody else out there did, but I have mine bundled up in jackets. But it does, it gets very cold, and I think we have to be cognizant that in the nicer weather, we tend to stay out longer and let our dogs stay out longer. But in the cold weather, we have to be cognizant of their needs. So that was really, I'm really glad you brought that up.
Well, yeah, and it's tough, you know, because just because they have fur doesn't necessarily mean that it's easier for them to stay outside for a longer period of time than us. So, you know, it's important, like, you know, if you can have a coat or a jacket to put on them, that can also help them be a little bit more comfortable, you know, during that, you know, 15, 20 minute, 30 minute walk that you're outside and it's, you know, colder part of the year. And certainly making sure that their toe hairs clip between their paws, which is something I don't always think about.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's really important to have that toe hair clip, because it can actually pick up a lot of salt, and also it can freeze.
Yeah, it gets a little freeze on there. Yeah. One of my greyhounds, and we lived up in New York, we had to get her little booties because she would not touch the cold ground with her. She would refuse. So we got little booties. So they also have little booties for dogs. So if you're living in a cold weather, I mean, that helps. If you want to go on your walk and put your little booties on your dog, and it keeps the salt out. And like you said, those little hairs get like little freezing icicles on them.
Yeah, absolutely. And so it's really important. Like, you know, you might be able to train. Some dogs don't tolerate boots very well, but you could certainly try. I mean, you just have to try a few times, just like getting used to anything else, and see if they can get used to wearing their booties. Or, you know, when you get back in, you have to make sure that you wipe their paws, right?
Yes.
And keep them on the sidewalk instead of in the road where they're definitely throwing a lot of snow. You know, you want to be careful. Not everybody uses dog face salt, you know, on the sidewalk.
Absolutely.
You know, but those are some things to watch out for in cool weather. But, you know, if you're walking, you know, some of the basic things that you need to have are things like, don't forget to bring waste bags with you and pick up after your dog. You know, no one wants to, you know, be kind of caught shorthanded. So I always try to take a couple bags with me just in case, you know, I'm not expecting something else to happen.
Yes.
It's good to be prepared and have a couple bags. It's really important to have a good leash and collar. And, you know, I have a dog that tugs. And so, you know, my little white, you know, 10-pound dog thinks he's a sled dog sometimes. And so he really likes to tug. So I have him in a harness so he doesn't choke himself. And so we have a much better walk when we walk with his harness than when we walk just with his collar on.
That's
so
important,
knowing
too.
Your dog,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, knowing your dog and knowing kind of what they like to do. Because he's just so excited when we go on a walk that the first 5 minutes he's just tugging. And then once we kind of get going, he's fine. Then he, you know, he kind of settles down. Good leash and collar. It's also really important to, you know, like we talked about, you know, walk and take time to sniff and kind of look around. You know, obviously be aware of your surroundings. You know, if there are other dogs and your dog doesn't doesn't like to, or maybe not doesn't take to other dogs right away, then you have to kind of be, you know, be careful and not assume that that dog wants to meet your dog. Or, you know, if you meet some people along the way, you know, maybe you're walking in the park, or down your street, not everybody may want to meet your dog. They want to be respectful, but if they approach your dog, you know, that then you can maybe, you know, have an exchange and your dog might really like that and they might like that too. So it could be kind of social for both of you to not just meet other dogs, but to meet other people and say hi to your neighbors.
And that's so funny because I know a lot of the dogs' names, but I don't know, like, I know the people what they look like, but I don't know what the people's names are. Hey, Boomer.
I know, right?
But I think that that's what happens. Now, in conjunction with exercise and, you know, all these great things that we do for our dogs to keep them healthy, another thing that's really important is good nutrition. And Bill Jack is known for their good nutrition. Can you tell us a little bit about Bill Jack and, in, you know, some of the products that you have? I mean, because to keep our dogs strong and maintain their health, we also want them to have good nutrition as we exercise them.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you want to keep them healthy and, you know, part of keeping them at a good weight and kind of at a good energy level is having the right food. And so, and obviously, you know, some good treats while they're out walking. Mm-hmm. You want to reward them and tell them, you know, thank you for being a good dog. It's also good to really have some good treats. So, you know, we have food and treats, to help keep your dogs healthy, you know, no matter what stage of life that they're in. And, you know, and we really are very committed to, you know, making those healthy foods. You know, we make our food so differently because we use 25 pounds of fresh chicken to make a 30-pound bag of our, like of our small breed select, for example. Mm. So, it's really important to be able to get them all of those nutrients they need, because some of the nutrients that you get in food, I mean, we kind of take food for granted, at least I do. I love food and, you know, and my dog loves food, but I think, you know, we kind of take it for granted that, you know, we're going to get everything out of the food that we eat. And so what's really great about feeding a good, high-quality dog food is you want to get all the nutrients they need, because some of those nutrients they can't make in their body, right? They need to have that food come in every day and to get them every day out of their food so that they can be healthy and energetic and, you know, happy. So it's really important to do that. And so we just slow cook our food to help to protect those nutrients. So we make our food so differently, and we really get a lot of, you know, people telling us just how much their dogs enjoy eating it. We have kibble that's a little bit easier to chew, and so that can be really helpful. This is an easy-to-chew kibble for dogs that may have teeth issues or, you know, may not like to chew a whole lot. We get a lot of great feedback on our taste and how easy it is for them to eat it.
Well, and I have to tell you, I go back to one of my rescue people who had a dog. She had taken in a dog, and it was from a severe abuse case. And mm-hmm. She's told you the story before, but I'll just let everybody know that she fed the dog Bill Jack. I mean, it had been eating rocks. It had been living on rocks and dirt. So put the dog on Bill Jack because she's a big Bill Jack fan. And she put the dog on Bill Jack, and the dog she walked the dog when she first got it, and they said, oh my God, this dog's gonna, you know, they reported her for animal abuse. The same person saw the dog after it had been on the, you know, your diet and your food and treats, mm-hmm. and the dog's coat was glossy and it was so healthy. And, you know, and it, my friend, and she is a guest on the show frequently, she said that Bill Jack changed her dog's life. So, I mean, the nutrients in the dog food do help so much, and I think sometimes we're not even aware of it. We just want to say, okay, does this taste good now? Is take the stress out of feeding the dog by making sure it tastes good. But it's so important to have mm-hmm. a good, healthy, nutritious base.
Yeah, and you know, obviously that's like the exaggeration of like the worst case scenario of, you know, what it's like when your dog is not eating right. So you can really see the difference in that kind of a situation. Mm-hmm. But even in a regular situation, right, our bodies are amazing, and dogs' bodies are amazing, and they can really overcome a lot of things that maybe aren't in the diet that are easy for them
Absolutely.
To be able to utilize. But you know, when you really do feed a high quality diet, you can sometimes really see the difference and see the energy level. And we get a lot of comments about our senior dog food that folks that have switched to our senior dog food are like, wow, I've been really amazed. Like I thought my dog was doing great, or, you know, or now he's even doing better. So we love to hear those kind of stories, because it's exactly why we do what we do.
Well, it, you know, I joke about your little, the little bitty treats that you have, the little Jacks, mm-hmm. and those, that's what kept my gang all the way. We got stuck in traffic jams. We got stuck in, weather issues. And what kept them all going was, would you like a cookie? And we gave them their little treat, their little Biljack treat. And I'm telling you, it's amazing because they taste good and they know that it's a positive thing. So we love those too. But where can a listener go to learn more about Biljack, learn more about all the things that you offer there? You have your great newsletter. I just got my newsletter this week, was very excited.
Oh, yep.
Yeah. So where can listeners go to learn more about Biljack?
Yeah, you know, come out to our website. That's a great place to start. We're at biljack.com, BILJAC.com. And you can sign up for our newsletter. We have information about our products out there. We have a great fun dog blog where we post a lot of articles. And, you know, some of them are just fun, like, you know, our favorite 10 dog movies, you know, so they could be fun things, yeah. Or they could be things like training. You know, I think we had a training video that went out in the most recent Best Friends Club email newsletter. And I know that Joel Silverman, who we work with in our training, on our YouTube page, we also have some of his videos that he's done for us to help us. And one of them is about walking and training your dog to heal. So you might go out there and, you know, check out a couple of his videos for maybe a minute or two each and get a few cues on being able to walk your dog a little easier.
Absolutely.
Too.
Yeah, they're very good and they're brief. They get the point across. He's such a phenomenal trainer too. So it's so great to be able to see him at work on in those little clips to train the dogs.
Yeah, absolutely. He's so much fun. We just love him. And you know, he loves dogs. He's such a positive trainer, and we really feel like,
absolutely,
you know, working with your dog, it should be positive. You know, you shouldn't be yelling at them. You have to be patient. And, you know, it's just a great bonding experience to be able to train your dog and have a well-trained dog that, you know, that both of you are really happy with how things are going.
Well, and we can end it on that because that is the most important thing that we have going, is that wonderful bond with our pets. So, and please remember, everyone, that January is Walk Your Dog Month. And be aware of the weather situations and everything that's going on out there. But, and also make sure that your dog has the right nutrition to get it through these cold months, but keeping them healthy. So, well, Kim, I thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you for having me. And everybody, good luck getting out there and getting walking.
Yes, get walking. All right, thanks, everyone. We'll be back in just up next. An entertaining show about a small group of veterinarians having fun doing what they love best, taking care of animals. That's The Vet's Life on Animal Planet, a show you definitely don't want to miss. Stay with us.
Does your dog itch, scratch, stink, or shed like crazy? Come to Dynavite for help.
Order a 90-day supply of Dynavite.
Dynavite for life.
Pick up two tubes of Dogasuds.
Get the third tube free.
Peppermint, tea tree, lavender, Dogasud shampoo.
Made with all-natural coconut, jojoba, aloe. Great for healthy skin and soft, shiny coats.
But no itchy, harsh chemicals.
Lather up, rinse away.
Try Dogasuds. Buy two, get one free.
At Dynavite.com.
DINOVITE.com.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Doggy Diva Show. And we have with us today Dr. Diaria Blue and Dr. Levine. And they are from The Vet's Life. It is a wonderful show. It's on Animal Planet. And The Vet Life follows Dr. Diaria Blue, Dr. Aubrey Ross, and Dr. Michael Levine, who moved to Houston to open a full-service veterinary hospital and animal shelter together. And the series captures the doctors' lives as they juggle running a new business while managing families, a family life, their spouses, parents, in-laws, children's, friends. Oh my gosh, it's just like everyday life. As well as their intense moments saving the life of many, many animals in their clinics. So I'd like to welcome with us today, we have Dr. Blue and Dr. Levine. Welcome to the Doggy Diva Show.
Thank you for having us.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Can the two of you both tell, Dr. Blue, we'll start with you. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your becoming a veterinarian.
Yeah, absolutely. So, very simple, you know, everybody has their gift, and I was just, you know, lucky and blessed enough to find my gift as a young age. I've always known I wanted to be a veterinarian, and I kind of stuck with it, you know. I didn't really know what it was. I'm like, hey, I love animals, and ever since I was a child, I've always had fish. That was my favorite animal, and dogs. My parents had dogs and things, and grew up in the east side of Detroit, and went to school and said I was going to go to Tuskegee University. And lo and behold, I went to Tuskegee University and got my bachelor's, and then I got my DVM, which is Dr. Veterinary Medicine degree. I left there and went to Las Vegas, Nevada. There I practiced medicine, learned, honed my skills, and then that's when, after that, I moved to Houston, and we opened up the practice. Obviously, I met Dr. Levine and Dr. Roth at Tuskegee University, and they're 2 years my senior, so when they went out to Vegas, I said, hey, I'm going to hang out with these guys. They're cool. You know, we're good friends. I can learn a lot from them. We went out there, had a great time in Vegas, and, you know, the rest is kind of history. You said, you know what, let's open up our own thing, and that's how it went.
Oh, that's great. Now, Dr. Levine, can you tell us a little bit about your background?
Yeah, it's pretty similar, except for I wasn't one of those kids that knew from, you know, knee high that I wanted to be a vet. I always had a passion for animals. We always had animals growing up, you know, had dogs, cats, guinea pigs, snakes, fish, you name it. But it just never, you know, the light never really clicked for me as far as, you know, taking that as a career path. I knew I wanted to kind of go somewhere in the medical field. So I went to Xavier University in Louisiana and was doing like a pre-med program there, but still not quite sure exactly where I wanted to, you know, hone my skills. And it wasn't until, you know, while I was in college and had a dog in my apartment and basically, you know, this poor, broke college student couldn't really afford taking him to the vet and stuff, so I kind of did my own vet care and realized, you know, kind of clicked that, hey, maybe I should go into, you know, the veterinary aspect of medicine. And once I kind of, that light clicked and everything made sense, I knew that's exactly what I wanted to do and never looked back.
Well, that's great. And it sounds like you all got together out in Vegas. What made you guys decide to open up a clinic in Houston?
I think all of us were, you know, business savvy, you know, had an entrepreneurial type of mindset. And, you know, working with the gentleman in Las Vegas named Dr. Nate, you know, excellent mentor, excellent veterinarian, excellent businessman. We kind of saw what he was doing. And, you know, we knew that one day we would want to do our own thing, meaning our own hospitals. And all three of us from different parts. And, you know, Detroit at the time wasn't the best place during the recession and thing. And New Orleans, kind of the same thing, post Katrina, and just not, you know, to the stature of where we want to be. And Dr. Ross from Houston. And I had family here. It's very close for Dr. Levine over in New Orleans. You know, it was like, this is a match made in heaven. I was like, this is the place to go. And you got to love the weather here. You know, it's subtropical.
Yeah.
I'm a tropical kind of guy. I like where it's nice and warm, kind of like in Florida. I don't want to go back to Detroit where it's cold. You got to shovel snow.
No. That, well,
you know, so it wasn't such a large city. It's, you know, a lot of opportunity out here too. So we just, you know, we figured, hey, there's a lot of opportunity for growth. You know, the city's so large, it can, you know, it's not oversaturated. You know, so we felt like we had a place where we can come down here and open a practice and hopefully more.
Well, speaking of that, now in the show, it really kind of covers that great balance of veterinary care and your family life, and you guys have a lot of fun. So, can you tell us about your clinic in Houston and like some of your team that works there? Because you have like a great chemistry. It's almost like kismet. It's all really great. It's an enjoyable experience to be a part of as a viewer.
Well, thank you. We're so happy that, you know, that's what comes across. Because that's what we do, you know. We have a kind of a creed here at Cypher, and it's kind of like a family. You know, we feel like a family. We just feel good. And our thing is, if you enjoy everything that you do, you're never going to be, you know, having that feeling of, oh, this is my job. I got to go to work. I don't like it. I'm tired. I don't want to wake up. You got to be happy when you're dealing with animals. I don't know anybody that's not happy when you're dealing with an animal. And that's how kind of how we feel. And it's something where the fact that we're like brothers, you know, obviously we have different mothers and different fathers, but we truly are brothers. You know, we just get along. It's kind of like going to school with your best friend when you're not in class. And I think that's probably the best way I can explain it. We're just having fun all day doing what we love.
Well, you definitely see that chemistry that it is. It's like you guys are just all, you know, one. It's almost like a family, like you said.
Absolutely.
Well, that's exactly what it is. I mean, it is like a family. Mm-hmm. We are a family. And like Dr. Blue said, we like to have fun. You know, work is work. You know, you got a job to do, but you know, if you're doing what you love and you're having fun, you know, you're never going to get, everybody, you know, had a job where you get burnt out. You know, it just becomes a chore and you don't want to go anymore. And, you know, that's not what we want to create. That's not what we want for ourselves. So we like to have fun. You know, we get serious when it's time to get serious, but, you know, you can have fun and work at the same time.
And, you know, you're in Houston, which, of course, we all were impacted by what went on in Houston. And you actually, your first show this season was about the impact of Hurricane Harvey. Can you tell us a little bit about that show?
Absolutely. Hurricane Harvey was, everybody, you know, everybody across the world knows how bad it was. And it's something where the damage that it did to Houston, you know, affected everybody in a sense that even if your house wasn't affected, for example, my house was not flooded, but my brother's house was flooded. My brother, you know, his wife and his three kids, which, you know, my nieces and nephews, live with me currently. They're getting their house worked on now, and they probably won't be in until like mid-February. You know, I wasn't able to leave. I drive about 35, 45 minutes to get to work when I commute. I wasn't able to get to work. Dr. Levine, his distance is about the same, and Dr. Ross is even closer, and he still couldn't really get here. You know, thank God we had technicians that were around the area that could come in and take care of the animals that were here. But it's just one of the things that we had hospitals that actually had to pick up and move and have actually lost their entire practices and lost animals. So it was such a great deal that happened. We had to step in where we could. And the first thing was opening the hospital to be open for those people that couldn't get to their normal vet. And obviously we do some outreach things where we went to help Austin Pets Alive and Houston Pets Alive that set up a temporary shelter in a grocery store that was abandoned. And I mean, they were cranking it out. I mean, they were saving dogs from shelters so they could make room for other dogs going in shelters. It was an amazing thing.
And I thank you for all that you guys did. I mean, it was a time when I'm in Florida. I mean, it affected everyone, and everyone also wanted to become involved with Houston. I'm going to say this in real life, it brought the country together. And I think that what you did and having this your new season start out with that is very impactful.
Absolutely. I agree with you. I definitely think it brought the country together. Dr. Levine, can tell you better about the experience in my brother's house.
Yeah, it was amazing. Like you said, just to see people come together. You know, I went over to help Dr. Blue's brother. You know, he, once the water kind of receded, we went to go help out and, you know, help him kind of take out the sheetrock and all the damaged, you know, stuff from the water. And I got over there, and there was literally, you know, about 50 people, strangers, just, you know, riding around the neighborhood and, you know, just asking if, you know, if he needed help. And people came in there, and I mean, his whole house downstairs was, you know, gutted out within hours.
Wow.
And I mean, we had football teams over there helping out, and you know, it was just really amazing to see how people really come together when they're in need.
And that's, I think, what kind of, you know, out of like crises, good things come out of it. And I think that that's one of the things that came out of it, that people just all came together, and they came together all over the world for that. So I thank you for bringing attention to it. Now, as vets yourself, I know that you like to keep pets healthy. That's what your job is. And you guys do, you show phenomenal vet care, but you also show it in a fun way. And so next month, well, this month, February, is Pet Dental Awareness Month. What's good for their health? Can you just tell the listeners, because I am a firm believer, having it affected one of my pets' life years ago, I am a firm proponent of getting the annual dental, if not twice. But can you tell the listeners the importance of the dental with our pets, how it affects their health?
Yes, I mean, it's definitely is very important. And this is, you know, it's a national dental month, so this is everywhere. Everybody, all the, you know, veterinary hospitals around the country should be participating. And, you know, usually, you know, they're, you know, running some kind of special. You know, that's what we do. We run a dental special every year. And, it's really important to do that. One, because it gets your animals in there to get a good thorough exam. But dental health is so important because there's so many things that can, arise due to poor dental hygiene. You know, they can get heart disease, kidney disease, and, periodontal disease. So getting them in at least once a year, and like you said, if maybe sometimes even twice a year for certain pets, is just so important. And, get them in there and, get them at least an annual checkup once a year.
I want to piggyback on that, Susan. So I tell my clients when they come in the door, teeth are teeth, right? If you haven't been to the dentist in a year, if you look at your teeth, you'll say, wow, this probably is a bad idea. And I go 2 years, and I go 3 years. I've got 8-year-old dogs that come in that have never had a dental.
Oh, my gosh.
And the owners are like, well, the breath stinks. And it's not that the owners are neglectful. They don't necessarily understand or have the education to
exactly.
think that that's what they're supposed to do. And that's why we want to make it the awareness. Teeth are teeth. Just because it's a dog don't mean it's not the same bone and enamel. It works just like yours. So if you wouldn't go a year without getting a dental every 6 months, we recommend the same. It doesn't matter. And actually, it's worse than a dog because we don't brush their teeth every day. At least we brush our teeth every day. Or if we're supposed to, at least.
Well, that's why it was so, I wanted to bring that up because I'm, because it, gets into their bloodstream. So much can happen. So people don't understand the complications that can come from it. So I'm really glad you guys brought that to everyone's attention. Can I just ask the clinic that you work in Houston? Is that something that?
You said ask the clinic?
The name of the clinic that you guys work in Houston.
Oh, yeah. Cypress Fair Animal Hospital is located on Luetta Road between Eldridge and Grant in Cypress, Texas.
Now, for those who want to learn more about you guys, who want to learn more about the vet life and more about your clinic, where can they go?
Well, the best place to go is to cyfairanimalhospital.com. That's spelled C-Y-F-A-I-R, animalhospital.com. You can find about the hospital, our locations, hours. You can actually shop on there, different products that we have. And then we're also on Instagram at SciFairAH, the letter AH as an animal hospital, and on Instagram at SciFair Animal Hospital. Those are our main outlets. And if you just are a little bit more old school like me and want to talk, you can dial 281-547-6128.
Well, that's great. And I got to tell you that I love those t-shirts.
Thank you.
They're great. And it's been such a pleasure talking to you guys. I know that you're really busy. I thank you for taking the time out to talk to us. And I want to thank you for all that you do for the animals. And again, we are looking forward to Saturday nights at 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time in the evening to watch The Vet's Life. And watch you guys in motion, you and your family. So I thank you both very much for being on the show. And again, thank you for everything you do with the animals.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
Hi, Doggy Diva Show listeners. Susan Marie here to take just a half a minute to let you know how much we appreciate your being with us every week to hear great dog tips you can use with your pet, some great stories about rescues, fostering, and some heartwarming stories about second chances for pets who are now in loving forever homes. Be sure to go to our website, thedoggydiva.com, to see pictures of Miss Olive and other dogs we talk about on the show and get to know us a little better. That's thedoggydiva.com, D-O-G-G-Y. We appreciate your feedback, too. Okay, let's get back to the show. Coming up, we'll look behind the scenes in the life and times of a professional pet sitter. Stay tuned.
Molly, here's your dinner. Zeus, that's not your food.
Don't let that happen to your precious cat. Elevate your cat's eating experience with the Cat Tree Tray. The Cat Tree Tray keeps your cat's food off the floor and conveniently located on the cat tree. It's the perfect way to eat. It's a beautiful wrought iron tray that easily attaches to your cat tree and keeps dogs and other critters out of your cat's dish. A must for multi-pet households. There's a 6-inch tray for large bowls and a 4-inch tray for smaller bowls. Purchase your cat tree tray today. Go right now to cattreetray.com. That's cattreetray.com. C-A-T-T-R-E-E-T-R-A-Y.com.
Talk Pets.
Let's Talk Pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Doggy Diva Show, and we have with us today author Laura Voria. She's the author of The Pet Sitter's Tale, and it's a collection of stories about her love affair with pets, her humorous observations about adventures with fur kids and their fur parents. So I want to welcome business owner and animal advocate Laura Voria. Hey, Laura, how are you?
Good morning. Thanks for having me on. I'm doing well.
Well, first and foremost, before we go into anything, how is Dexter?
He's doing good. So he's laying right next to me, and I'm hoping that he won't make a peep while we're talking.
If he does, it's okay. Everyone's used to having the dogs talking on the show.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Can you just tell us a little bit about Dexter?
Oh my gosh, I can tell you everything about him. So, canine soulmate, just not the dog that I pictured having for myself. You know, I had an idea in my mind of getting this beautiful golden retriever or, you know, a lab or some big dog like the kind I grew up with. But when I decided I wanted a dog many years ago, I thought, well, I'm just going to put it out to the universe. And I was working with a rescue called Four Paws Animal Rescue. And they just called me up and said, hey, we have a dog. He's really badly hurt, and the vet won't fix him unless he gets a permanent home. He has to go right into a forever home because he's been through so much. We don't want to see him in foster care. We don't want to see him not get a good home. He's really mangled. He had gotten hit by a car. And I said, sure, I can't wait. I'm going to take this dog. It'll be amazing. And I write this in the book a little bit. When I first saw him, he was like literally a sack of bones with that huge, like the satellite on his head, just hanging his head down. And I thought, oh no, this is going to be my sickly dog. He's never going to make it. And then all these years later, you know, I've had him going on 12 years. He's just evolved and grown into this really great, amazing dog. Now, not to say he doesn't have his issues, but he's just amazing. I love him so, so much, just like we all love our pets.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and he's adorable. So I wanted to ask you about Dexter because I thought he was just adorable. So can you tell us about yourself and your diverse and interesting background before you became the pet sitter to the stars?
Absolutely. Came out to Los Angeles from Chicago 2002, and I was a makeup artist, and I really enjoyed that. That was just something that I'd gone back to school for after being in corporate sales in Chicago for my whole life, basically. And as I was a makeup artist out here in L.A., I was struggling, couldn't get any traction, couldn't get any gigs. I mean, couldn't get my union card. I just, you know, one disaster after the next. And I was really starting to get concerned, would be putting it lightly, about my finances and what I was going to do when I was running out of money, which was happening pretty quickly. Because, you know, you never can anticipate how expensive Los Angeles is going to be. So I was struggling, and I was working on a movie set for a woman who was an actress herself, and she was working on independent film. And so after I did her makeup, she had asked me, would I spend some time and walk her dog? She would give me a little extra money for that, and I said, sure. And I'd always, always loved animals, always had a fondness for animals, grew up loving dogs. And so as I was walking this woman's dog, out of another trailer comes comedian Paula Poundstone, and she started talking to me. I did not start talking to her, just want to make that clear. And she noticed the dog, and she said to me, oh my gosh, what a cute dog. So, you know, dogs are kind of this great connector. So I said, yeah, really cute dog. And she said, hey, are you a professional dog walker? And I said, well, yes, I am. And then that's how it turned
turned out to take off. You know, I told her that, she hired me to walk her dog, who was quite a different experience than the dog I was walking, but it kind of threw me into the whole world of dog walking and pet sitting.
Well, and I call that kind of thing like kismet, because you were doing something, and in the book, of course, it details your struggles and some of the things that you went through to get to where you were, and then you were on set doing this one actress's makeup, and then you bump into Paula Poundstone, and I think we all love Paula Poundstone, and it became like a life-changing moment. So I commend you for that, and then you started, can you tell us the name of your business?
Oh, yeah, it's Your Dog's Best Friend.
How apropos. Oh, you did Paula Poundstone. I know that you can't really give names of any of the, you know, the celebrities that you walked, but can you tell any, like, fun celebrity stories about them and their pets?
Well, so many. I mean, all of them love their pets just as much as we do, but they're just able to spend a lot more money on them than we are. So I know that Jennifer Lopez always has her pups taken to a spa, and the spa is shut down when her dogs are there, and they get like a perfect spa day. I mean, fluff and puff, and it's the whole day. So it's not like I take Dexter the groomer and I pick him up in 45 minutes and it's done till the next month. I mean, they spend the whole day getting their hair and their nails and their bows and their paintings. I mean, it's the whole day, and they smell delicious. So I would say that, I mean, and they smell so good, that, you know, she would be somebody who's kind of, you know, a little bit overboard with that. And she doesn't want her pets to smell like dogs. You know, they're on her furniture, they're running in her house, so she has to have them looking, you know, nose to toes, very clean and smelling wonderful.
Well, understandably. I mean, she's J-Lo.
That's right.
And the dog reflects the owner.
It's so true, right? That's so true.
Well, I love that you said in your book, one of the things that you said is it didn't matter what a great tragedy was unfolding as long as there was a warm fur ball in your lap. So in the book, it did have some challenging stories. Can you share any of those stories with us?
So as far as being in, like, you know, sad relationships or going through divorces or anything, or all of the above?
You can do all of the above. I mean, because it all comes together in the book, and the, you know, the way it ends is perfect. And it kind of just, it shows the strength of you. And I'm all into, like, the strength of a woman and the woman, especially a woman entrepreneur and a woman business owner. And that you kind of took what you had and took it to the next level. But along the way, there were a lot of skips and jumps and hops and you know, we love to talk about pet sitting and it's all a happy event, but sometimes there are challenges, and sometimes there's challenges in your own life, and you're a professional, but you seem to drop them at the door and keep going.
Oh, you have to. And that's the thing. I mean, you have to go on. I mean, and the dogs really require that. The pets require that. I mean, a lot of us are pet sitters. Who hasn't woken up and looked out the window and go, oh my God, it's raining or it's snowing or it's freezing and I'm just going to stay in bed today? But then you think of all those furry children that are like sitting in their homes or apartments and just wondering, like, who's going to let me out? Like, I need to go to the bathroom. I need to get fed. I need my medication. And when you start thinking about others, then you put yourself on the back burner and you do what needs to be done. And it gets you going. Sometimes. And also the unconditional love that we get from our pets, it's really like a serotonin releaser. I mean, it really gets your happy feel-good endorphins going, and it pulls you out of that, you know, funk or depression you might feel just knowing that, hey, you know, I got my little snuggle buddy right next to me, and pretty soon he's going to need to go for a walk or he's going to need to get fed. So it's not all about me having a pity party, if you will. It's like, what do the people in my life need? What do my pets need? You know, what do my clients' pets need? And you have to go on, if for another reason, because you're needed.
Well, and it's interesting because you seemed very in tune with your clients' pets, and having myself having had pet sitters for years in different states, and sometimes they work out, sometimes they don't. And reading the perspective of the pet sitter, you know, it, and some of the situations that you went through as a business owner being a pet sitter, I mean, you have a whole different set of responsibilities and accountabilities. But in reading them, I'm like going, I experienced that. Oh, I had, you know, it was like I was looking at it from the other side going, and the person who owns the business, they have a lot of responsibility because if somebody calls in sick, if somebody doesn't show up for any reason, or if there's not a connection between the pet and the person who come in, even though you have everyone introduce themselves. And these are things that I experienced as a pet parent. And I had wonderful pet sitters, but I'm reading it from your perspective. And it was so eye-opening to me because I got to see it from the pet sitter's perspective, and even writing the little notes and the little stuff. I mean, those were so important to me as a pet parent. And it was like really cool that you outlined that in your book.
That's so funny that you say that because I think that's so antiquated now. I don't think people leave those notes anymore, but that was the standard then. And I had a client who, she was living here in Los Angeles. She had this great little schnauzer named Wrigley, and she was relocated with her firm down to Texas, and she was leaving. And right before she left, she came to me and said, I want you to sign this book. She had found all the notes that the pet sitter had left her in this, you know, how you can make a book online, and it was bound. She wanted us to sign it. She had put her dog in an ink pad and put his paw prints in it, and I thought, oh my gosh, some of these notes are really bad. Like, I hate that she put them in a book. But she told me that every single day when she was at work, she would come home and she would read the note, and it really felt like it connected her back to her pet and made her think, like, what did my pet do today? What was Wrigley doing while I was, like, in that meeting or I was, you know, on that conference call? Like, my dog was having this whole other experience, and he was out in the world and maybe meeting his friends or chasing squirrels, and somebody else was taking care of him, and this is bearing witness to that. And one day he won't be here, and I can look on these notes and relive it all again.
So, and that's, that's what made it so, like, sincere and at the same time very funny. I mean, it was the way that happened. And they are. They're so important. I mean, I'm home with my dogs now, but at the time when I was out and about and traveling a lot, it was very important. And I couldn't wait to get home to see the notes because I go, okay, oh, good. This one did this and this
right,
one did
okay,
that.
Right,
oh, and she did. Oh, I'm very happy she took
good.
This. Yeah. She did that. Yeah. So I don't have to worry about it tonight. And it was very genuine and sincere and, you know, a little inspiring. As you have gone through this, what lessons have you learned, you know, as a business owner, an entrepreneur, a pet sitter, an animal advocate? What lessons have you learned, especially since writing this book? Because I'm sure it's kind of like a catharsis getting that out. And it was, like I said, it was beautifully written. I love the photos in it and the way the little stories all come together.
Oh, thank you. I think for me, the biggest lesson as an entrepreneur and owner of a pet sitting business is that you have to relinquish some of the control to the independent contractors, employees, if you will. And you have to accept that not everyone is going to do things exactly as you would do them. Everyone's hopefully going to create their own relationship with their pet, their own relationship with the owner, and that you just have to trust that people are going to be doing their best like you are, and then be able to act quickly if they're not. Because I think, as you probably realized once you read the book, maybe I gave too many chances to certain people who were messing up, if you will, and didn't move too quickly to replace them. But that's the other issue, you know, and I think I sort of can highlight it in the book. It's not always easy, especially it's not easy, to find people who are as passionate and committed to other people's pets as you would hope they are. So it's difficult because you can't handle all the business yourself, but finding people to help you with it is another ball of wax altogether.
Well, and I thought that the way that you handled it, because, I mean, you handled it as someone who's just a compassionate person, and you looked at their individual situations, and everyone seemed to get through everything, some of them a little worse than others, not worse, but some a little more challenging, and people you have to read the book, and you're going to find out about all these things. They were
read the book.
Yes, they're going to love it, because what it is it's kind of like a learning curve for everyone, because you get to see it from your perspective as the business owner. You see, you know, you kind of detailed and outlined their perspective in with some of their challenges or some of their whatevers that they're going through. But it was fun, but yet it showed that compassionate side. You're going, all right, I'll give you another chance. But it was really, and then you see it from the pet owner's perspective. So the whole thing was kind of brought together in this little mishigots. And it was like, it was fun. It's real life. And to see the challenges that you went through and to the challenges that they went through, and then to see the observance from the pet owner's point of view, it was really, really interesting. And I appreciate that you did that. Now, where can the listeners go to learn more about you, to learn more about the Pet Sitter's Tale? Where can they go to learn more about you?
So the PetSittersTale.com is my website. It's more of my blog, and there is a lot of information about me there. Not so much about the book, because I started the blog before the book, and I was just sort of giving out advice to pet sitters on the blog and giving people more background about me. There is a link to my business site, which is yourdogsbestfriend.org. So you can go to those two sites or follow me on Twitter, because I'm most prolific on Twitter. I love Twitter. And anytime people need help or people have questions, if they're starting their own pet sitting business, they can reach me at my email address, and you can find that on either one of those websites, because I love to help people. I love to answer questions about pet sitting. I like to think of myself as someone of an expert, and I'm, you know, just so happy to help. I mean, I love helping women, and I love helping other entrepreneurs, so look me up. I'm happy to help.
And that's pretty evident in your book. It's kind of, it's also, I'm not going to say it's a guide to pet sitting, but you've been doing it since what, 2000? You've been doing it for so many years that you've pretty much been able to iron out a lot of the wrinkles, so that people who may be starting a business or who may be looking into becoming a pet sitter themselves, joining another business, you kind of detail a lot of stuff in there to help them too. So not only as an author did you do that, but as an entrepreneur, you did that also.
Oh, and I really like that, because, you know, this is like the gig economy right now. Everybody is an Uber driver or pet sitter, but if you really get dedicated to pet sitting, it's one of these businesses that can take off very quickly. And one of the advantages is you don't need to invest a huge amount of money to get the business off the ground. There's no big buy-in. You don't have to get an investor. You know, it's just something you can start where you are, which I love. And it's as simple as just letting your circle of family and friends know, and maybe their family and friends know, hey, you're available for pet sitting, and your dance card's going to fill up really quickly, because people need reliable pet sitters, and they don't always want to hire a service. They want to hire a person.
And that's true, and I know that from experience. And one thing I want to tell everyone, and you are very kind to have done this, and I think that the listeners are going to be very excited. Laura has offered her new book, The Pet Sitter's Tale, as part of a book giveaway, and we're going to have 5 lucky winners. And of course, as we've talked about, the Pet Sitter's Tale, it paints a vivid picture of what it's like to witness and be a willing participant of the pampered life of a celebrity's dog. This entertaining book was written by Laura, a wonderful entrepreneur who pioneered the dog walking industry in Hollywood over 15 years ago. And The Pet Sitter's Tale is funny, wacky, as I think everyone's picked up from our conversation, but incredibly heartwarming, sincere, and genuine. I truly loved reading the book. I think that our listeners will love reading the book. And it has a little something for everyone in it, Laura. I thank you. And the book is available on Amazon.com for those of you that want to hop on and get it.
Thank you so much. It was so delightful to talk with you. I can tell you're another pet lover, people who are pet lovers can talk forever.
That is true. And again, too, and you're an animal advocate on top of everything else, which, you know, I love. And that came up in the book also. So all of you who are looking for It's called The Pet Sitter's Tale, but there's a lot of humor. There's a lot of sincerity. There is inspirational parts in it and also great business advice. So, Laura, I want to thank you again. Thank you for this delightful book. And I want to thank you for all that you're doing for the animals.
Thank you so much. It's been my pleasure.
Thank you. We'll be back in just a moment. Coming up, creating a unique lifetime remembrance of your pet. Stay with us.
Begging to hear more of your favorite show? Full episodes of all our shows are available on demand. Go to PetLifeRadio.com to fetch our entire lineup of Possum Pet Podcasts. Also, dig us up in iHeartRadio and iTunes. Let's talk pets. Live and on demand, only from Pet Life Radio.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Doggy Diva Show. Now, while a photograph might bend or lose clarity as time takes its toll, next, a precious metal print, hand-finished in silver or gold, immortalizes the memory of your pet for a lifetime. And I want to welcome back Grant Barton, the founder of Precious Metal Prints. Hey, Grant, how are you?
I'm doing great, and I'm glad to be back with you.
Oh, so perfect. This is perfect for Valentine's Day, and I thought it would be great to have you on so that we could, you know, the listeners who have pet lovers in their lives, if they want to give that special gift to their pet lover, it's immortal, it lasts a lifetime, and it's just beautiful. So I thought that it would be perfect to have you back on to offer that to everyone so that they could share it with their pet loved one. We have a lot of new listeners, and for those who may not remember when you were back on before, can you just tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, and the inspiration for Precious Metal Prints?
Yes. Well, I'm a married father with two boys, and then we also have two dogs as well. And I initially started this business. I'd made my wife a necklace with both of our boys' fingerprints in it, in Precious. And people really liked it and developed it into a business. And then about a year later, a lady that owns a big group of independent pet stores asked if I could develop a pet nose pendant and worked on that and developed it. And it's just been a big, big hit in gift stores, in vets' offices. So that's how it got going.
Well, and, you know, we all love our pets, and that's why I was thinking, what a special way to memorialize and remember in a Valentine gift for pet lovers, and it's just like something that you have your whole life. It never fades. It never goes away. It doesn't bend. It's there in this beautiful pendant, and people will always stop you and say, you know, who's that? What's that? And it's just something that you're going to have your whole life, and it's very, very special. And I thought that this would be perfect for, you know, people who want to give something special to their loving friends or, you know, partners or whatever. Now, can you tell us about the Precious Metal Print Kit and how that works?
Yeah, it's really easy. When you buy it, you we'll mail it out. You get your get the kit in. It has very detailed directions. All you've got to do is take the mold. The mold will harden, and you mail it in. We make it, and then in just a couple of weeks, you'll get it back, and we'll do the name. We'll do initials on the back, and they'll also get a necklace with it.
Oh, and that's so beautiful. Now, can you tell us about the metals that they come in? Because it's such a nice quality of finish that you have.
Yeah, they're both available in silver and gold vermeil. Gold vermeil is 24 karat gold plate over silver. So if you're if you like to wear silver, we've got you covered as well as gold.
That's it. You thought of everything. Now, can you please share with the listeners what the print looks like? I mean, I know what it looks like. I have one. I mean, I think it's gorgeous, but can you just share with the listeners what it looks like? Because I think that it's something unusual and very special.
Yes. So when you get it back, it's actually going to be basically a duplicate of your animal's nose. It is just a little bit smaller than the actual nose, but it does a really great job of the way that we get you to do the mold. It does a really nice job of capturing all of the fine detail, the wrinkles, it looks exactly like your dog's nose.
And each one is unique, which makes it even more special, because it's the little, you know, the little thing that you press their nose into, it gives the exact impression of what your pet's nose is. So, I mean, it makes it just so special and so memorable. How easy is it to order these beautiful, memorable pendants?
So it's really easy. You just go to our website, which is preciousmetalprint.com. Place your order. It will ship the day that we get the order. You'll usually get it in 2 to 3 days. Make your mold, mail it back, and we make it and mail it right back out.
How easy is that?
We're going to offer for your listeners, if when they're going to checkout, if they enter the code DIVA, D-I-V-A, we're going to give them a 25% discount.
Wow. Thank you so very much. Oh my gosh. So this is like so wonderful. Yeah, thank you so much, Grant. I know that the listeners will appreciate this, and that's a great discount on such a special, special gift.
Yeah, we're looking forward to doing it.
Well, and I have to tell you that I'm talking about it as a gift, but I mean, there are going to be people that are there, listen to this, that are going to want it for themselves, such as I did. And you want to, you know, please go to preciousmetalprint.com, and it's so easy, and it's not, you know, your pet doesn't even know it's, I mean, it's so simple, easy, quick, and they come back in time. So we wanted to make sure that listeners could definitely order these, get them, not only for their own Valentine's, but if they want to get it for themselves. What a great Valentine gift for yourself. So, again, where can the listeners go to learn more about your beautiful precious metal prints?
Oh, you would just go to our website, preciousmetalprints.com, and then over on the left, there's a little navigation where you can click on Pet Nose. It gives you all the information that you'll need, and use that as a way to order as well.
Well, Grant, thank you again for coming on our show. I think that this is a wonderful Valentine gift. I think it's very special, very memorable, very unique. And again, listeners, I thank you, Grant, because we get 25% off by entering the code DIVA, D-I-V-A. So, Grant, thank you very much. And I wish you and your family and your pups a happy Valentine's Day.
Thank you, and to you as well.
We would like to thank our guests this week. And also, as our doggy divas always say, please love your pets because they love you unconditionally. And please remember to adopt, foster, spay, neuter, and microchip. And as always, please have a great Diva Week, everyone.
That's all for this episode of The Doggy Diva Show. To find out more, go to our website, thedoggydiva.com. Also, find us on our Facebook page, The Doggy Diva Show, and tell your fellow dog lovers about it. Don't miss Susan Marie, Miss Olive, and the Doggy Divas right here for the next episode. See you again soon.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.